What's going on, everybody? Stocks get rattled by more macro data that just really doesn't fit the narrative we want to hear. So we'll talk about what's going on there. Of course, Meta fumbled the ball. Fumbled the ball on earnings, and now Google and Microsoft have to pick it up and take it into the end zone, or at least that's what we hope happens to get this market back up. So we'll talk about what's going on with those earnings. And then finally, did you notice by now that NVIDIA seems to be the anti-stock market stock? That's right. The proof is in the pudding. We'll talk about those things and more. Obviously, talk about the two big earnings along with a bunch of other earnings. If you got something you're looking at for earnings, let me know. We'll talk about it. But first, welcome to the most dangerous show on the Tasty Live Network. Folks, it's Engineering the Trade. I am your host, Jamal Chandler. It's an exciting day. Not just markets. No, I'm not talking about markets. That's right. It's draft day. It's draft day. Draft day, and you got to give the Bears props for having pulled off, some excellent moves over the last couple of years. Put themselves in the position, put ourselves in position to be in the number one pick to get Caleb. That's right. It's going down. I know a lot of you have wondered. I've talked about this over years. How did I become a Bears fan? Well, you know, for the longest time, I wasn't. Because I didn't grow up here as a kid. I grew up in Florida. I was a Dolphins fan. That's how I grew up. But things changed. About 2.5 years ago, my youngest son became a Bears fan, and I had to join him. I had to. It's been long enough. Been here for 20 years. About time I'm a Bears fan. Why wasn't I for the longest? Well, my wife's a Packers fan, so obviously you can see a little bit of conflict there. But you know what? I'm not going to let my youngest son down. I'm not going to let him go by himself. So it's that. I'm going to film us tonight watching that first round pick. We're going to have to. We have to do it. It's got to do it for posterity. It's going to be cool stuff. Pomp and circumstance, they're in Detroit, which is, I bet that could be a fun spot to do the draft. I mean, everybody digs on Detroit, but Detroit's downtown has really changed. I don't know if you've been a long time. I have. I got friends there. It's really been different. So it's going to be fun tonight watching that, watching Caleb Williams get picked as the first pick in the draft. New quarterback, new franchise, new regime. Things are changing. He actually did a really good video on this podcast recently called The Pivot. I watch it regularly. It's with some former football players. Namely, Fred Taylor being one of them. He should be in the Hall of Fame. I'm surprised he's not. He's one of a few running backs with over 10,000 yards, I think. Anyway, should be fun tonight. Can't wait for it. Looking forward to it. Not only Caleb, another first-round draft pick, number 9. There's no telling what we're going to get there. It would be awesome to get a receiver. Why a receiver? Well, much like trading, if you pay attention to what goes on in the NFL, what you should be paying now, the things that are most important to your team are quarterbacks, the people who protect them, linemen, offensive linemen, and wide receivers. All of the rules are geared towards offense. So why would you ever have defensive players be the highest paid people on your payroll? I don't really understand that. One of the things I like to do is look and see how teams sort of align their payroll and who they pay and who they don't. It's a really fascinating thing if you've never done it. I think I should be a GM. I don't know. Let's pull up some slides. Let's talk about what's going on today in markets. We have bounced a lot. We were down 72, 73 when I came in this morning on the ES. We were down 23 or 24. Some swings today, to say the least. A lot going on. Obviously, we got GDP this morning. GDP came in at 1%. It was lighter than estimated. And now the talk is worried about an economic slowdown. And then we still got some data that showed, obviously, inflation is still high in the system. So imagine that. Stagnating economy along with inflation. Stagnating economy along with inflation. Stagnating inflation. Let's put it together. You can do it. Stagflation. That's right. That's what everybody's worried about now. Stagnant economy and inflation. That is terrible. Because now you really start to have an issue. So we got a couple of things here. We have the Fed meeting coming up next week. They're not going to do anything, obviously. They're certainly not going to cut rates. I don't think they're going to raise rates. But, you know, that's probably going to be the next thing they're going to be talking about sooner or later. Then you got the jobs report. It's jobs week next week, essentially, right? Where you got all these different jobs things. You got JOLTS, you got ADP, and then eventually you got the non-farm payroll number. People are going to start really watching that now for clues. If we're seeing stagnant economy and you're still seeing inflation, we're going to start watching for clues on what's going on with rates, with rate increases, with job wages, how that's reacting, and eventually how much we're not, where we are. I mean, these job reports have been hot, so I don't think we're going to see any fall off anytime soon. I mean, at least not in this next report, but it's something to keep an eye on. Markets are in fear. Then we had Meta. It was interesting because early in the week, Tesla misses, stock shoots up 10%, mostly because, well, I think we were all sort of anticipating that this thing had been so oversold that eventually markets were going to rise, right? Well, now you got Microsoft and Google on the way to do earnings. Some of the bigger AI players in the market, obviously Microsoft has been one of the leaders for a while. You see some of their, I mean, both of them, stocks real today as Meta was down. Obviously, it's hard to not be down with the whole market. Not every stock was like that. We'll talk in a second. But Microsoft and Google really have to hit the nail on the head today, because if they don't, I mean, this, you know, Tesla earlier this week, expectations were very low and really expected things to be worse. And when they did not go down that way, the stock rallied. I think Meta, even though they beat, it was one of those, you're a victim of your success. You haven't beat enough. And Google and Microsoft are going to be the same way. So they really have to win tonight. They really have to win tonight in order for the market to rebound and keep the rebound going. Because we're in the midst of this three-week just doldrums where the market really hasn't been able to sustain any serious rallies. We had 2 days of rallies this week, basically evaporated within a couple of days. So that's something to keep an eye on. But nevertheless, last data point here, NVIDIA. How about NVIDIA being the anti-stock market stock, essentially, right? Notice this a couple of times now. Traders seem to pile into NVIDIA when markets are down big. You can also see semis in general. SMH is up. SMH is, what, is it up like 1% or something? SMH is up almost 2%. SMCI is up 4%, still way down from what happened last Friday when the stock got completely crushed. But NVIDIA got crushed along with it and has bounced right back to levels that seem to be a fair value area, 80-20 to 80-50. So I don't know. I'm starting to get the feeling that, and it's interesting too, the implied vol has come in big time in NVIDIA. Actually, I need to look at my trade. I'm going to have to look at that later. It's not doing what I wanted to do. But NVIDIA just seems to be a stock that people are piling into when markets are down big. They don't seem to be fearful of that breaking. And I think right then and there, you knew the market wasn't going to break lower when you came in and you saw NVIDIA being as strong as it was. And it's only continued to rally throughout the day. So something to keep an eye on. NVIDIA, strength, semi strength, AMD, still weak, but that's also bouncing. Semis in general when markets are down. Take note of it. Finally, leftovers. What's in favor? Or I'm sorry, who's in favor of the potential TikTok ban? Let's move to the next slide. So this is broken down in a couple of different ways. Overall, this is a poll of about 2,000 people. U.S. adults overall, somewhat approve, mostly approve. 49% approve of a TikTok ban. 28% disapprove. You know the 28% of the people that are making money, or, well, they're probably closer to 18, 19, 20 than they are to 60, 61, 62. By age, here's the breakdown. And I'm right. 18 to 29, 37% approve, 49% disapprove. Disapprove is in the red. For those who are colorblind, can't help you. By age, still, 30 to 44, 43% approve of the ban and 31% disapprove. And as you can see, this just goes higher as age gets older. 45 to 64 approve of the ban, 23% disapprove. Finally, 65% of those 65 and older approve of the ban, 13% disapprove. By party, if you care about that kind of thing. Democrats, 40% approve, 36% disapprove. Independents, 42% approve, 27% disapprove. Republicans, 66% approve, 20% disapprove. I mean, it's rare to see so much agreement among parties. You know what I mean? This is a first, a Democratic or Republican or just a political type of poll on engineering trade. I never do these type of things. So it's kind of fascinating to see. Obviously, it breaks down from age. Well, those who skew younger do not want to see TikTok banned, but those who are older do. And overall, I think people are really don't really kind of in favor of it, it would seem. But this is quite some times away. I mean, it's, I think more than anything, I wouldn't be surprised if it ends up getting sold as opposed to being banned. There is so much money to be made off of it. Capitalism always reigns over everything in the United States of America, and I'd be shocked if it goes away fully. But you never know. Let's move ahead to the next slide. All right. Oh, VIX futures. Over the last 4 weeks, most notably, is in the blue. That's now. We kind of got to backwardation a little bit last week. This doesn't fully show it because this is the last four Wednesdays in a row. And expiration last week, April VIX futures expired on Wednesday morning. So that doesn't show there. As you can see, this goes, so you can see in the dark blue, which is up top, that's 30 days out, 60 days out, 90 days out. If April was still in there, it would have been in the 0 days. As you can see, that's the one that doesn't have a data point. The rest, though, basically showing you that we've been mostly in contango, again, except for April 17th. We were in backwardation for a little bit. We've mostly been in contango, but the curve has dropped, obviously, week over week. And there's been some volatility, but it's not as high as we've seen in years past. You can still see the election premium out there. That's the big hump, about 180 days out. So we're about, we're going to see that. We're going to see that materialize when we get to the election time period. We'll see how much volatility is actually in the market. But for now, we still keep trucking on. Let's move to the next slide. Another thing. This is the yield curve for the 10-year, 3 months. So short-term yields, obviously, versus longer-term yields. This is the longest inversion in history. 542 consecutive days that we've seen. It actually might be a little bit longer. I'm off on that number. But nevertheless, you can see other really long times. 470 days, this was inverted from November of 1965 to March of 1967. 414 days back in the 80s, September 1980 to October 1981. And then 315 days in the July 2006. That's when I started trading professionally, actually. July 2006 to May of 2007 that this thing was inverted. So, yeah. When I think back to that July to May 2007 time, I mean, those were really, the market was actually really in a good place. It was in a bull market, essentially. And, I mean, until we're really proven otherwise here, we're still in the bull market. We're just in the middle of a small correction. Small because it's only 5%. We're not down 15, 20%. It's just 5% over the last couple of days. We probably, you know, when you have days like today where we should have been lower, given the bad news that we got from a major company in Meta and the fact that GDP is coming in lighter than expected, which, again, eventually is going to affect consumer spending, which is the consumer, essentially, right? And then we still have high interest rates. You would expect the market would have really not liked that. And it didn't like that this morning, but somehow or another, it reconciled it all. So that's the kind of market we're in right now, folks. Let's move ahead to the next slide. Next slide, please. So earnings, a ton of them. I only put a few down. Maybe these are the ones that we'll take a look and check. Microsoft, Google, Intel, Snap, Roku. What's WDC? Oh, yeah, Western Digital, T-Mobile, Team, GILD, Teladoc. Teladoc is probably in the single digits now, right? Oh, not quite yet. AEM. I put AEM on here because obviously they have earnings, but did you see Newmont this morning? Newmont had earnings, and it took off. We see this happen a lot. I wouldn't be surprised to see AEM up big tomorrow. I mean, that's just a guess, right? But when we see things like when oil is on highs upwards of 90, 100, usually the companies end up doing well because of earnings. Similar deal with these miners. Newmont, AEM, with gold being at all-time highs, usually we see these stocks end up doing that. So keep an eye on that one. Skechers, KLAC, Capital One. We got oil names starting to get in the mix, Exxon, Chevron, ABBV, and then we got Colgate-Palmolive and another oil name in PSX. Core PCE is also on Friday. So not only do we have these big earnings that start tonight and obviously trade tomorrow after earnings are out, but we got Core PCE, another inflation report. Obviously, this one is big because this is the one the Fed really pays attention to. Japanese rate decisions coming up on Friday. Don't really expect anything. I asked ambassadors to Japan, Chris Vecchio and Ilya Spivak, and both of them, well, they seem like they should be ambassadors to Japan. I don't know. Chris doesn't think there's anything going to happen. That means I don't think anything's going to happen. I'm certainly not going to be up early in the morning just to see what goes on with Japan rate decision. And then the Fed decision, of course, is next week. That's the big thing we're gearing up for, along with jobs report later in the next week. Number of S&P 500 stocks above the 50-day moving average is 206. Let's move to the platform. Data Trader, what's going on, man? Absolute beginner. How you doing? It's cool to be an absolute beginner sometimes, you know? Hello, Jamal. Do you close profit on your positions? Thank you. Close profit. What do you mean close profit? Do I close profit? I mean, I do. I close positions that are profitable. I used to try to aim for the 50% range. As a matter of fact, there's probably some stuff I should be doing today that's in the 50% range that I should close out. This Tesla put spread, 57%. It's time to close this bad boy out. Let's do it. That's some capital back. I try to, you know, I do what I, what a lot of people do, I shouldn't do. Sometimes people actually will hold on to their losers, close their winners. You're not supposed to do that. There's certain things you should close out. It's hard to close out things when they're like at all-time lows, right? Like this yen trade, I've had this on for quite some time. I think tomorrow is the day to probably close it after they come out with their rate decision and they haven't said anything or done anything. They also have Japanese CPI tonight and I think GDP as well. And if they don't, if nothing happens here with the yen, it's probably time to close out. I'm sure as soon as I close it out, that's when it's really going to finally rip, but it is what it is. Any other positions for me to close out? GS, I should have closed that out yesterday. I didn't. Because I was over 50. It was about 48, 49%. Micron, this is one I should have closed out the day before. But I'm leaving them on. It's fine. Got some further out time. Your guide, too, for closing out a lot of the time is you look to see how much implied vol has changed versus historical over the last 30 days. We use this metric a lot. Tony Batista is the one who's kind of... This is something I always paid attention to anyway, but I didn't know we had it on the platform until last year. I look at this a lot to see how much implied has changed to realized. As a matter of fact, UAL, what am I doing? Oh, I'm short a strangle in there, right? Now this thing is 15. I didn't make a whole lot of money on it, but it's 12. I made 12%, but this one is time to close out. I got to close this out. 95. There we go. Look, I've got a couple of ideas. I'm closing out here. The rally cap, there you go, Theta Trader, there you go, rally cap tone. I mean, I don't want to completely flip it inside out though, buddy. I'm not going to do that, but this is about as rally as we're going to get. What else? Let's sort by this. You guys, no, I got you guys here. Yeah. Well, this is a leftover position. Don't have to worry about that. Netflix, ooh, Netflix is a 12 now? Oh, crap. I might have to close that out. What do I have in here? Only 13% gain, but it's 12 IV rank. It's time to move on, boys. Time to move on. Whoa, hey, hold on. Can't do that. You just went up. Oh, that's trash. Whatever. Oh, wow, this thing is moving around. We'll do that. Closey close. This is good. I actually needed to close out a couple of things. I really hadn't... been on my risk management game like I should be. So I think I've gotten rid of a lot of, yeah, Tesla, it was time to close that out for sure. Micron is still a 29, I can hold on to that. GS is an 18, really. I feel like I should, 42%. Yeah, let's close it with 18 IVR. That means it's done. I'm gonna put the order here though. Let's see what happens. Let's see. Who else? Is there anything else? Close that. I've closed that. Micron, GS, SPY is still a 28. SPX, that's just, man, I'm really annoyed about that. I had a a butterfly in SPX. 5,000 was my short strike. I was, you know, in line for something. We actually sat right at SPX 5,000 this morning. The rally has kind of beat that up. I wanted to put on an upside one when we were down lower, but it just never quite materialized. So now I'm just kind of holding on to this, I guess. There's nothing really I can do about it. Maybe we go back to 5,000 tomorrow, depending on what happens with Microsoft, Core PCE, and Google. We'll see. But yeah, I think those are all the positions I want to close. The last thing, again, I'm waiting on tonight for my yen position. Eventually, I'm going to close that out. And then with my bonds position that I've been just dying on recently, next week is the week when we get Fed meeting. That will be the time to make the decision. In the meantime, we still have everything. How do you guys sort? I like to have things sorted by, well, look, this is the lower IVR. Oh, I got filled on the GS. Bam. Closing out positions here, folks. Getting buying power back. It's always good. And they all worked out. They all worked out to some degree, shape, or form. On to the earnings. Well, first of all, let's look at SPX. Expected move for tomorrow. One day. Right now. 46.5. But of course, you can always just go here too. This is saying 44. These methodologies are a little bit different. There's straddle. This is not always going to be the straddle. This is sort of a... this is using the straddle and a couple of out of the money options to determine the expected move. But the IVX is at 23. That's fairly elevated for a day like tomorrow. Core PCE obviously is that important, especially when you see what we've been doing on inflation, the hint of inflation in the market. So I think tomorrow's going to be a decent one. We'll see. We'll see what ends up happening. So that's the expected move. Microsoft, expected move here, 20 points. What you doing? What you thinking? Where you going? What's the highs of Microsoft on the year? Was it around 430, 429? Do you think we can see those again? Probably not, right? Probably not. Are you a sucker for love? Are you a sucker for love? Is Microsoft going to bounce? I'm going to bet it will. Small trade. Call calendar. And I did, this one's a little expensive. So I did a Tesla trade this week on the show for earnings. I did a diagonal in that I bought, you know, near the money, and then I sold upside. Microsoft is a little expensive for this. I mean, I don't know. I'm a little nervous to play upside. What if it doesn't? I honestly I just felt stronger on Tesla, and that's why I decided to do that diagonal, because I felt like it was really oversold. Here, Microsoft has everything to lose. Even if they beat, they don't necessarily have the chance to go up. Same thing with Google. Like, it's a similar deal. And that's the scary part. I mean, again, you could have another Meta on your hands. Even if you beat, you could end up falling. And so I guess you could play it to the downside. Which I could. I don't know. Maybe I'd do that. Microsoft, if they don't perform. I did do the call calendar, but I think the trade I really am interested in would be, this is last year's levels, 376. Could drop 20, right? 376. If I did a 390. And $15 wide, $5. Ooh, how do we feel about that? That could be an interesting one. Let's take an analysis. Yeah, I think if it's 572, the most I can make is $15 wide. Make $9.33, essentially, right? Because it's a $15 wide spread. So... right, $15 wide spread. Yeah, $9 and change. I don't know why it's showing 8:30, but it should be 9, right? Yeah, I don't know. That's weird. So I might consider this. $500 is a decent amount of premium. I don't know if I want to do it or not. I don't know. 570. I suppose One way to look at this is a lot of the other shortfall plays, if Microsoft wins, maybe I'm overthinking it. I'll try to get it for 570. We'll see how it plays out. Wow, that was fast. Instant fill, huh? Boy, get some instant fills here in markets. It's nothing like liquid markets, huh? So I got two plays on in Microsoft. Somehow I just talked myself into both of those. Google could be the same deal. Could end up being the same deal. Are things going to get real bearish here? It's been a big range in Google today. $6 range. Wow. Just on the heels of everything that was said, they could fall right back down. Where do they fall? Do they fall to this level? 140, huh? That's crazy. I mean, that's a big move. What's expected move here? 8 points. So let's see. I could go 150 in here. Gosh, there's really not a whole lot to sell, huh? On the downside, I'm going to sell the 145. I'm going to go, oh crap. Let's see. I'm going to go 155 and no, clear. Let's go. I'm going to buy the 155, sell 145, 384. That's not bad. Again, these are all being played to the downside just in case things don't pan out the way you want them to. 380, $10 wide move, $6.20 that you could potentially make. Mr. Premium, what's up? That's Jamal. It's Jermal, J-E-R-M-A-L. Oh, please, don't mess up a brother's name. Appreciate it, man. What's up? How you doing? What else are you guys looking at? Anything else you looking at for earnings? I mean, Intel's obviously going to be another one. Who else did we say that's fascinating earnings-wise? Snap almost never does well on earnings. I feel like you should just almost go out and buy puts. This thing's going to be trading $8 or $7 tomorrow. Stock is not. I don't know how they continue to miss so bad on earnings and then sort of rise back up. This stock is crazy. But again, with Snap, Google, Meta already going, we get to hear a lot about what's going on in the advertising space for a lot of these names and how they are aiming to take all of our money. Roku is another one. I'm not really interested in trading a whole bunch of earnings. Again, I just always like to trade the big ones, the Mag 7, if you will. So I put plays on in those. But Exxon and, AEM, what did I say about AEM? AEM has earnings, right? 65, huh? AEM, huh? I wish the 65 calls, if these 65 calls were worth a dollar, I would totally buy them. But I'm not going to. Shh, don't tell anybody. But I'm not going to. But I do think the stock is going to be up tomorrow. That's just my story, and I'm sticking to it. Folks, that's the show. Thanks for watching. And as always, be smart, be patient, trade small, trade often. We'll see you.
The content of this podcast is created, produced, and provided solely by Tasty Life, Inc. and does not represent the direct views or opinions of any of its affiliated companies. This content is for informational and educational purposes only. It is not, nor is it intended to be trading or investment advice or a recommendation that any security, futures contract, digital asset, other product, transaction, or investment strategy is suitable for any person. Trading securities, futures products, and digital assets involve risk and may result in a loss greater than the original amount invested. Tasty Live Inc., through its content, financial programming, or otherwise, does not provide investment or financial advice or make investment recommendations. The information provided may not be appropriate for all investors and is provided without respect to individual investor financial sophistication, financial situation, investing time horizon, or risk tolerance. Tasty Live Inc. is not a licensed financial advisor, registered investment advisor, registered broker-dealer, or registered introducing broker.